I lost my dad in 1989, and I think of him every day. But of course, obviously today is a day set aside to honor our fathers. And so I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about what the scriptures say about fathers. And then secondly, I'd like to talk about a group that the scripture also talks about, and that is those with no fathers. And thirdly, we'll look briefly at the love and the mercy and the grace of our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Mama, if you're a father here today, if God has blessed you today with children, I want you to notice Psalms 24. The Bible says in Psalms 24, 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, the world and they that dwell therein." See, your children also are an heritage of the Lord. They belong to God as well as belonging to you. Your children are gifts from God. God has honored you above any worldly possession you could ever attain by giving you children. I know, because Joyce and I have never had any children. I've, for years, we've taken in strays, so to speak. I've always had my heart, a broken heart, for every child without a father, and have missed out on that wonderful joy. But they're God's children too, and the Bible says that their blood is precious in His sight. There's a verse about if anyone offend one of these, the little ones, that is, be better for that man if a millstone were put around his neck and he tossed into the depths of the sea. God cares for you and your children and gives you great responsibility. God has placed those children in your care to love and to protect, to nurture, to provide for, to instruct in righteousness, and that's a great honor, a wonderful honor. As fathers, God has entrusted you also with the future of Christianity. If you lay out a church and don't bring your kids to church, or maybe you bring them just once in a while, guess what the next generation is going to do? They won't darken the church door. Because if you become inconsistent and lackadaisical in your church attendance, then your children's children will probably never go. It's just a matter of attrition, how it works. So God has loaned you His children to bring up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to know and appreciate the importance of godly fathers. We look at the worldly culture around us today, and while the world has moved toward an effeminate role for men, that's not scripture. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Quit you like men." You need to act like a man. You need to man up. My. Strong men, working men, men of character and commitment. Do what Bob Jones used to say, do what you ought to do as men. Now, society today may want to change a father's role. Culture may want to change and redefine a father's role. The feminist movement may want to change a father's role, but the Word of God never changes. And God holds the father as accountable today as He did with Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, one of my favorite verses about fathers is in Proverbs 27:10. The Bible says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Wow. What a wonderful verse. You honor your father when you honor your father's friend. Hey, God said that your father's friend should be your friend. What a verse of scripture. During my prayer walk this week, most of you here know that I live on a country road and built a house off the farm where I grew up. One of my nephews lives in the old farmhouse, and I walk up that road that was always gravel until not too many years ago. And I was walking up that road the other night, and I saw that old farmhouse where I grew up, and I remembered my daddy had bought that farmhouse in 1952. I was 3 years old. And I could see a light in that window, upstairs window, where my niece's little girl stays now. And I got to thinking of me with that window open in the summertime and listening to the foxhounds. Boy, and most of you don't remember that. You'd hear those foxhounds running out through that window, open air window. And it brought back memories of my childhood and my daddy and what a good man he was. I got real melancholy. There's some conversations that I wish I could have today with my daddy that I should have had back in the day, and I didn't have. My. As kids, we called him a daddy. And then as we became grown, I referred to him as Dad or Paul. That's country kids, Ma and Paul. All of us kids loved and reverenced our daddy. Our mama taught us to respect our dad. And our dad worked a lot. He was gone a lot. But our mama taught us that he was a provider, that he worked hard for us, and that he loved us. And we needed to, she taught us to love him back. Hey, I've seen mamas who turn their children against their daddy. I don't like to see that. It's wrong to do that. The other night on my prayer walk, I realized those conversations that I never had. You know, I never knew my daddy real well. I knew him, but I didn't know him. I read somewhere, some psychologist said that we never really know our dads. And I identified with that. And the generation I was from, my dad, I played football in high school, and if he caught me lifting weights, I had an old chicken house. Used to be a chicken house, converted into a garage. I had a set of weights there. I'd work out in the summer. If my dad caught me lifting weights, he'd get mad at me and make me split wood. He said, if you're going to use that energy, it needs to be doing some work. He never came to my football games. He never came to any of my games. Where I was playing music, boy, he got into that. But I loved him just the same. I knew that he loved me. He didn't have to tell me every day. He didn't have to tell me that he loved me because I knew that he loved me. And I loved him. I remember my pastor buddy, James Brown. He's a pastor of Bean Blossom Baptist Church. He's from Mississippi. Brother Brown said when me and his wife's name is Mary, said when me and Miss Mary got married, I told her the day we got married that I loved her. And I said, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. And that's how a lot of that generation was. That's how my daddy was. I better move on here. But he was imperfect. He was imperfect just as I am imperfect. But boy, I sure miss him. I thank God the other night for my earthly daddy and thank God for saving his soul. My fatherhood. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Hey, you want a long life? The Bible says honor your father and your mother. Now listen, I realize that everyone was not as fortunate as I was, and in fact, in Scripture, there are over 40 verses in the Bible that deal with those who God referred to as the fatherless. The fatherless. You know, over half of the homes in America today have no father in that home. That's awful. You know what happens when those kids don't have a family to bond to? They're going to bond to something. When mom's working all the time and dad's not in the home at all, that child is going to bond to something. In the inner city, I found as a city policeman in Miami, Florida, back in the day, that those kids would bond to the gangs. They'd bond with a pack. Just like a dog. I see Cody. Cody's a big-time coon hunter back here. Cody Barrows. big show-offs, got a dog winning all them hunts. I've been trying to figure out whether he's cheating or not. Maybe that dog's cheating. Maybe, I mean, anyway, but Cody, Don Cottingham did a study once about champion dogs, dogs that were world-class dogs, and he said the only common thread that he could find on all those dogs was the fact that they spent a lot of their first year in the house. Do you look at your mom and do you hear that? And the reasoning was that those dogs would bind with their master. They would bond with their master. They would bond with their handler. Those outsiders just let run, they would bond with the pack. It's the same thing with your children. If you're not around for those kids to bond with, they're going to bond with the pack. Bond with the crowd. Hey, you want to be religious? You know what the Bible says about religion? It says pure religion. I'm in James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless in their afflictions. The fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to remain unspotted from the world. Wow. God puts a ton of importance on looking out for kids with no daddies. I have no experience as a father here this morning, but I have just a ton of experience dealing with the fatherless. The Bible says that God is the helper of the fatherless. God hears the cry of the fatherless in Exodus 22:23. God executes the judgment of the fatherless in Deuteronomy 10:18 and Psalms 10:18. Punishes those who oppress the fatherless in Exodus 22:24. The Bible says to defend the fatherless, defraud not the fatherless, wrong not the fatherless, afflict not the fatherless, oppress not the fatherless. Over and over again, God says, look after those that don't have a daddy. My. There's a verse that says, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. My. God is a father to the fatherless, it says in Psalm 68. You need to be a father. And I know there's a dark side to that coin. I've dealt with it as a police officer, as a juvenile probation officer. I dealt with it. I was also a court-appointed special advocate for kids, and I've seen those kids who had a sorry, no-account daddy that molested them and messed with them and abused them, confused them. That's a tough situation to be in. Those kids never seem to quite get it right. Never seem to quite get it right. I remember looking at one study that I read about why kids turn into criminals. And one of the only common threads that they found in this study, I don't know how many were involved in the study, but they said the common thread was that those children that became longtime criminals had a major traumatic emotional event in their life before age 2. Don't ask me. That's above my pay grade. But all those developmental years are so crucial. I don't understand all that. But I understand there's kids out there that never get those relationships right. It's a crime, we used to call molestation, a crime of confusion. That child is confused from that point on about relationships and about who to love and how to love and what to love and what not to love. So if you're a father here this morning, you need to be a father. Be a righteous father. It's an honored position, a position of great responsibility. And we'll see on the evening news from time to time when a father has given his life in an attempt to save one of his children. And that's the way it should be. A father should willingly do that out of love and devotion Now, speaking of a father who gives himself sacrificially out of love, I want to thirdly look this morning for just a couple minutes at our Heavenly Father. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a gift from God. That's a God who loved, a Father who loved you enough to die for you. Sacrifice his own Son. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That big word propitiation has to do with the appeasement of wrath. Our Lord satisfied the wrath of God by taking on our sins and paying that debt on the cross. You know, the Lord, in teaching his disciples to pray, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's actually kind of a model prayer where the Lord is teaching his disciples over in Matthew 6 and verse 9. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He's teaching them how they should pray. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's that mean? To hallow something is to treat something as sacred and hold it in reverence. Sacred, holy, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. My, my, my. Blessed, Ephesians 1:13, Paul said this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, it's through the grace and the mercy of our almighty Heavenly Father that we have the offer of eternal life here this morning through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. It's whosoever will, let him come. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Galatians 4:6, and said, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If you're saved here this morning, you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. If you're lost here this morning, you've lost that familial relationship with God. When Adam sinned, he lost that family relationship with God. That's why the Lord said you must be born again. The Bible says, to as many then as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You get that family relationship back the moment you trust Jesus Christ. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. I have access to the Father today because of the sacrifice of his Son. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth, watch it, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. John 6:39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, the Lord said, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What a promise from God. John 16:27, for the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and hath believed that I came out from God. God set the example, folks. God gave us his very best when he gave us his precious Son, Jesus Christ. God's sacrifice is pictured throughout Scripture. We'll see it pictured with Abraham and Isaac. They went up to Mount Moriah, and the Bible says that Abraham left the party that came up with him, the servants and so forth, left him there. And just he and his son went up then into the mount where he was there going to sacrifice Isaac. And the interesting, what I find interesting about this story, that Isaac was a young man. Abraham was over 100, and yet Isaac allowed dad to bind his hands, tie him up. No doubt Isaac could have easily overcame him, but he willingly did what his Father's will was. He was willing to follow him even unto death. Jesus Christ said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. My, my, my. Picture of God and his precious Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life for you and me. Our Heavenly Father gave us his best. You know, we should give our best back to God. We should give our best to our children. We should teach our children the fear of the Lord. Hey, my daddy was a better man than I am. Oh, he had some faults. He liked the taste of whiskey. But he was a better man than I was. I never went hungry. I never went cold in the wintertime. I always had shoes to wear. I always had food in the refrigerator. Because of my daddy. I loved him. One day at the age of 60, the Spirit touched my daddy's heart and he went forward to the altar at Hogan Hill Baptist Church with tears in his eyes and asked the Lord to save him. What a day. What a day. My wife, I think, was there. I was on the road. I wish I could have been there, you know, but Jesus is still saving today, folks. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord hath given thee. Honor, respect your fathers. If he was a bad guy, if he wasn't what the father should be, pray for him. Pray for his eternal soul. Pray that God would touch his heart. Do what the best you can to forgive him for what he's done. God will allow you to do that if you'll trust God with that. But the message today is to love your daddy, honor him, respect him. Hopefully he loved you as our Heavenly Father loved us and sent his precious Son, Jesus Christ. Everyone would stand up here today. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, then why not? The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He put all things under the Lord Jesus' hand. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You've never trusted Christ this morning, it will be a good time to do that. The altar's open. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. There's something you need to pray about. Won't you come as we sing?